Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
All right.
Hello and welcome to our spring 2023 editions of the Alabama Football Podcast. This is sort of a mini-series that we're doing leading up to A-Day, where we're covering sort of singular topics. Maybe it's questions, maybe it's predictions, maybe it's just things, man, I can't wait to watch and read about and learn about as the team works through spring drills. And so today, we're going to talk about offensive line play. And particular, sort of predicting starters, if you will, and what the offensive line is going to look like. And so we talk about this almost every spring and every fall. And so we're going to do it again here. Offensive line play is an interesting, especially like what's today's starting five versus tomorrow's starting five versus, you know, it can quickly feel like it's out of control. Like we don't have five because we keep shuffling it every day. The sky is falling, and that's not true. Sometimes it is true, but generally it's not true, especially when we know that there's talent on the roster like Alabama has. What you're really trying to do is shuffle players across different positions and see what sort of combinations and what rotations work. The simplified sort of coach speak is we want to get our best five players on the field. And that's logical. It's reasonable. It sounds simple. It makes a lot of sense. But there's multiple levers that sort of confuse that singular, simple objective. You want to get the five best players that play well together, that are complementary in their skills. You want to get the five best players at the positions where they play the best. You can't have five. Now, I like Seth McLaughlin at center. I really do. I'm predicting that he starts. But you can't have an offensive line with five centers. You can't have an offensive line with five Seth McLaughlins. That's not going to be a successful offensive line. You can't have five guards across the offensive line. Could you have five tackles? Maybe. But sometimes that road grader guard is just what you need. And his body type is going to be different than the others. And so you want, and so that can complicate, that can confuse sort of the selections. So it's, you know, five best players that work together as a unit at positions where they can be their best. And again, not always as simple as it sounds. Plus you're looking for backups and further shuffling. And so if a tackle goes down, how do you handle that? Do you have a backup tackle that is better than your backup guard if you were to move a guard over to tackle? And so which really is better? The two deep at offensive line is not necessarily 10 players. Your two deep across the offensive line might be seven. And so it's finding your best seven that are complementary in a way that you get your best five out there. And if someone has to come out, injury or whatever, you're not just reading a depth chart, you're reading a replacement plan. And so it takes time. Those are two different things. And it takes time to create sort of the replacement plan. And so you see a lot of shuffling. It looks discombobulated. And there's typically an inflection point where the first few days, it's different names every day. And then you reach a point where you start to see a pattern. It's the same names, same names, same names. Then you realize maybe we're kind of honing in on something. So that's always a fun thing to watch. I like the reporters that are there every day and say, and they don't spend a lot of time with it, but they say, oh, by the way, it looked like the starting five was this. And so just look for those lines and sort of track those through. That'll be fun. Again, we talked about that's the day-to-day reporting. It can be confusing. It can be frustrating, but watch it over time and see how it plays out. And then sort of anchor with what you know. If we see Seth McLaughlin at guard one day in practice, Don't say we've moved him to guard, because that's not true. We're experimenting with something. Maybe is he in a rotation or something? Or are we just trying to get snaps to Daukert? But what are we doing? And so anchor to what you know as well. And so with that, I'm going to run through who I think the starters are for A Day. And honestly, I think these are probably the starters for fall. But I'm gonna talk about just a couple sort of lever points, who the competitions at the individual positions are, and maybe some of the lever points, because I think we'll get to see that through the reports and spring practice. And so it'll be fun to watch. So if we go across left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, right tackle, I think the starting lineup, if we were to pencil it in, sort of write it in, who's the starting lineup? Left tackle, J.C. Latham. Left guard, Caden Proctor. Center, Seth McLaughlin. Right guard, Tyler Booker. And then right tackle, Elijah Pritchard. Now, let's talk about that a little bit. Let's start with center, and then we'll sort of explode out to the other positions. Seth McLaughlin is the center. We predicted that he should have started the beginning of last season. He came on so strong back in the 20 season. And so I think he's the hands down starter coming into 23. Alabama doesn't have a lot of depth at center. And so there will be competition with Darian Daukert. Darian Daukert will also be given, because he started the season last year and has played significant reps at the center position. And so there will be blending. Today it might be Seth, tomorrow it might be Darian. Today it might be Seth, next day it might be Darian. And so there's going to be some rotation there. And Darian may rotate some at guard, because is he good enough to start at Alabama? He is. If he can't win at center, can he compete at a guard position? He may well be able to. And so we may see some lineups or some play where they're both in there. Now, when it comes to A-Day, they're both starting centers. One's going to start for one squad, one's going to start for the other. And so you also say Darian's going to get a lot of practice time, because we can't go into A-Day with, you know, one guard ready to play, or one center ready to play and one not. So we're going to see a lot of rotation across those two, and then we'll see how it shapes up with the Crimson and White squads. The guard positions, I think, are really interesting to see how they play out. Now, I've got Caden Proctor starting at left guard, and I've got Tyler Booker starting at right guard. If you want to flip those, that's fine. I don't care. I think it's going to be those two guys starting in the fall at the guard positions. But watch out for Terrence Ferguson and Jaden Roberts. Two big fellas, road grader styles, I think more so Ferguson. But they have an opportunity to compete for one of those guard positions as well. And so that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Now let's talk about the tackle positions. And I think there's really going to be three players potentially starting or competing for the tackle spots. J.C. Latham, I think, moves from right to left. And I think Elijah Pritchard takes the right tackle position. I think Caden Proctor gets reps at both tackle positions. And so this could be building. Again, this could go back to, is he really competing to start at one of those positions, or is he competing to be the swing tackle in an injury situation? Because maybe we can bring in, if Caden's a starter at left guard, it's easier to bring in Terrence Ferguson to play at left guard and move Caden to one of the tackle positions than it is to move in the backup tackle that's not Caden, who might end up being like the third or fourth tackle. Depending upon how we structure the roster. In other words, we may have more guard types than we have tackle types, and Caden truly is a tackle type, but as a true freshman on campus, he may play guard. That's a pattern that Alabama and under Coach Saban has deployed. Jonah Williams, take Jonah Williams and Alex Leatherwood are two really good examples. J.C. Latham played a little bit at guard before he came in and played tackle. So we've seen that dynamic. And so that's why I say maybe Caden at the guard position. Now, here's going to be an interesting thing to watch. If we take a big step back, Caden Proctor really, for my money, is a leading indicator. Proctor, I think, is the canary in the coal mine. Now, he's a true freshman. We said that he was going to contribute. He was going to make a splash in spring drills, and he absolutely will. But he's a little bit of sort of the canary in the coal mine. If Caden Proctor can't make the starting lineup, that probably says more about the talent that Alabama has on the field than it does Caden. Than it says anything about Caden Proctor. It means the youngsters that haven't played, the Terrence Fergusons, the Jadeon Roberts, the Elijah Pritchard, that they are more ready to play than maybe we think as fans. And so if Caden has a hard time finding the field, that's not negative. That's not a knock on Caden. That wouldn't be my first go-to. Now, people are right. Oh, he must be a bust. Well, no. That's called bullshit. What that would mean is there's more talent ahead of him. He's having a hard time sort of breaking through. The other end of the spectrum is also true. If it's like, damn, Caden's the day one guy at left tackle, and no one can unseat him, well, then that might mean that he's athletically superior to everyone. It could also mean like, oh shit, there may not be depth. There may be, there may still be issues across the Alabama offensive line. So for me, he's the canary in the coal mine. Where does he line up? Now, if he lines up at a guard position, left or right, opposite Tyler Booker, and he is beat out of Ferguson or Roberts for a guard position, that probably sounds about right for the number one high school offensive tackle, left tackle in the recruiting cycle. That actually sounds about right. So we'll see how that plays out. But if he's beat out or he seems aggressively promoted, those things will have messages. So that'll be interesting to see. Again, we'll see all the reporting, all the different sort of line connect or, shuffling of the roster. And then when we get to A Day, or maybe the second half of spring, that should really start to solidify itself. We should sort of know who the top five are. And hopefully it's pretty close to what we got here. So we'll see how that plays out. All right. If you're going to A Day, just reach out to us. You've heard us talk about the opportunities. We've got a travel squad going, and we'd love to shake as many hands as possible. So if you're going, hey, reach out to us and let us know. We'd like to sort of catch up with you. With that, this has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.